Hey, this is Rain Brown, and you're listening to Behind the Mask.
Welcome to the show.
What's up, freaks?
It's Riverman
and the Lush,
and we have a little special
episode here. Yeah,
kind of. We haven't really got to. I mean, last month I think we just put out one episode, which we apologize for, but a little busy.
Yeah. Times is tough.
But we've been jerking around for the past few months saying we have an interview, but we finally have an interview. It's with the lovely and talented Rain Brown.
Rain Brown. And we just kind of, I think, wanted to, it was such a great conversation with her. We just kind of wanted to, if we were to put this into one of our normal shows, the show would be probably quite a bit long.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that to you guys, so
kind of wanted to stand out on its own too, like some of these interviews I think should stand out on their own. It's something we might do in the future. I mean, we're gonna try it this episode and see how it takes off and everything,
so. Yeah.
I mean, she's been in, you know, quite a few things. She was Psycho Holocaust. She's been in Aunt Rose.
Yeah, she was in The Super. We did a review for a couple episodes ago.
100 Tears. I mean, she's
100 Tears.
Great, great indie actress.
Like she will say in the interview, and you must listen for this. The upcoming film Kung Fu and Titties.
Yeah. Which
sounds fantastic.
She was telling us about, and we're definitely excited about
that. You'll hear more about that in the interview, so definitely listen for that.
If you like Kung Fu and you like titties, then you'll like the movie.
Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But was there anything you wanted to talk about before we rolled into the interview? Or
Rain Brown fucking kicks ass. That's
right.
That's all I really want to say.
And go to her, go to her Facebook page and give her a like and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I don't know. From there, let's lead it in.
Yeah, we'll just roll right into it. Enjoy. All right, welcome back to Behind the Mask, Riverman the Lush. And we are actually joined by a very special guest right now. We are very honored to have her here. One of the true queens of indie horror,
in my
opinion.
Oh, yeah,
The beautiful and talented Rain Brown. Rain, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I think I'm just going to just soak that in for a little bit. Great introduction. I think I need you, like, when I wake up in the morning, I should have that playing on, like, my alarm or something.
you want me to record a ringtone for you?
That would be perfect. It would just be like, oh, great way to wake up in the morning.
Lush has the sensual voice, too.
That's right.
Exactly.
I'm gonna start doing Colt 45 commercials.
Hey, now. That'll be a whole different way to wake up in the morning.
Pick up where Billy D. Williams left off.
Nice.
So how you been doing? What's been going on?
Oh, I've been doing good. I've been keeping busy as usual. Waiting for a bunch of stuff to come out. A few things came out this year, so, you know, totally ready to promote whatever. But things have been good. Things have been good.
Awesome. I don't know. The way I usually like to kind of do an interview is to kind of start pretty much from the beginning. So I guess my first question would be, like, what was it that got you into acting? Was there a specific film or actor that inspired you, or was it just something you were just kind of always wanting to do?
Yeah, I would say it was more something that was just always in me to do. I, you know, always loved film and always loved theater and performing and, you know, costuming and characters and psychology and makeup. So I think, you know, and being very dramatic too. So I think you take all those parts of my personality and it just kind of fit. And I got into it mostly in high school. You know, I actually did all classes and courses and, you know, did some theater training and just loved it and knew that this was going to be a part of my world somehow. So, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to, you know, find kind of a niche where, you know, I can continue to do film and, you know, kind of do some theater also. But indie horror has been wonderful to me, and I enjoy doing it so much.
Yeah. Well, where did you go to school for acting?
I went to Montclair State University, and I got a BFA in acting. It's a school in New Jersey. And, you know, just from there, you know, I had been auditioning and started working on films while I was in school and stuff. And, you know, just like I said, it was the right place to be. It was the right place to be for me.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. What was your first gig?
My first legit film, you know, I'm trying to think if that would even be considered a legit film. It was called Nightmare at Shallow Point, which, don't ever find that. I heard somewhere in Japan it was playing, but, I would say like my big break film was Dante Tomaselli's Horror. And that kind of started off this whole, you know, horror genre, you know, career for me. I never actually expected that. I didn't know where I was going to end up. I just ended up where people were going to hire me. And that movie got, you know, some press, and I got some press from it. And then I would, you know, audition for, you know, many things, or send out, you know, my headshots for many things. And horror films seemed to call me back more often than most. And they were so accepting, and, you know, was such, you know, back in the day in the early, 2000s when I was a young lass, they were such like, I don't know. I think it was even, you know, it was exploding then. I really feel like there was an explosion, and there was such a, you know, a passion for it with the audience, and people were going nuts for it, that so many were getting made. I mean, I think they still are now, but it just seemed like, you know, right place, right time kind of thing too. I don't know if you guys think that that was a golden period for it, or how you feel about it now, but... Yeah. I felt like they, you know, people were making a lot of them now, you know, the film, you know, the cameras and things were just becoming affordable to filmmakers, and the technology was becoming, you know, just starting to become affordable to filmmakers, that, you know, more people had access to, you know, to make these indie films.
Yeah. 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 There was like a huge just wave, and like, it seemed like there was a lot of just, broad, you know, excitement for horror there for a while, you know, and now it's kind of, it seems like it's died, but I feel like there's another one of those waves coming though, you know.
It'll never die. It'll
No, hell no, it won't.
It'll crest and, you know, kind of like, I think, come a low, and then it'll be like, oh my gosh, where'd this go? We have to rediscover, you know, like, it's always going to be there. I think, I really do.
Yeah. I think a lot of that's coming with, this, kind of like new school exploitation stuff, especially, you know, with films like Hobo with a Shotgun and Super. The Super and there was a movie we just on our last show we reviewed a movie called Sweet Karma. Stuff like that. It's really, really good. You know, just a lot of those new school exploitation films, I think, are really kind of starting to create a buzz. And you know, I think horror and exploitation a lot of times just kind of go hand in hand, really. So I think it's going to, you know, it feels like there's some shit starting to stir up again, to me anyway. So I'm happy about that.
Let's hope, you know, you know, keep it alive, guys, you know, and it's, I think, again, it is just, an up and down, and, you know, as you newer, cooler movies come out, you'd be like, oh, wow, I remember this kind of stuff, and people will, you know, start getting back into it. And I also think it's a weird time now because, you know, people aren't buying as much DVDs, and people are, you know, trying to get everything on the internet. So it's a weird time for horror movies to find their place in the market too, especially indie sure. films. So it's like, are you buying them at conventions and DVDs, or are you downloading them somewhere off the internet, or, you know, or when you make the film, do you just throw it up on the internet? So it's that's, I think, got to find its place too, the best efficient way to get it out there too. And also hopefully make some of the money back for the film too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
How was it going from theater to film? Was it a difficult process, or?
I actually felt really lucky because, my theater training was really strict. You know, you got to get on, you got to get the lines right, you got to be on, you know, people are watching at that moment. So coming into film where there's a lot more flexibility and a lot more leeway, not only with the dialogue, I didn't know that, you know, in a lot of films, they let you kind of be a little bit more free with the dialogue, you know. And, you know, in terms of, you know, the training I got, you know, I felt so prepared, even though I had no idea what I was doing. The one thing I would say that I had to start learning slowly was to kind of pull back. You know, in theater, you're trained to be, you know, not over the top, but as big as is possible so people can see it, with also being real. But the big and real, where film, the subtleties are what kind of capture people. And I had to learn that slowly by watching, you know, the films that I've done in the beginning, and kind of learn from watching myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say, if you're going to pick a genre that you can be a little bit big in, horror is definitely, you know, right up there. So, you know, I kind of fell into that because you can kind of be very dramatic with horror. You can be, you know, excessive at times. So I think definitely. That kind of worked.
Now, were you a big fan of the genre before you got into it? Was
honestly, I didn't know much about it. No, I was not a specific horror fan. I was, grew up on like 80s kind of teen comedies more. That was like more my style. And then, learning about it and learning about, you know, the different types of horror, and the one thing I didn't know about horror is like the fans of horror and how much, you know, people love it and they're so committed and so, you know, amazing. Like I have to say, like, that has been the one thing that I've loved the most. They, you know, to be able to build a career because people actually care, you know, the horror fans love, and they will, if they find you and they like you, they will follow you and support you, and there's nothing like that, you know. And that I wasn't even aware of, you know, when I started too.
You definitely I think you definitely have kind of your own cult following now, you know.
The
horror comes with a built-in, you know, fan base. People want to know about it, and if they like you, they will follow. It's amazing. It's really cool.
You know, and, you know, that's kind of, I've heard, you know, some of the same things about you as I've heard about, like, say, Debbie Rashawn. You know, like, a lot of people will watch a movie just because you're in it, or watch a movie just because Debbie Rashawn, you know?
Yeah.
That's got to feel fucking pretty cool, you know?
it's really great. Like, I always say, you know, I like to do all different types of, you know, acting, anything, you know? But if I did just, you know, a comedy here or a drama here, and then, you know, no one would link them together. The fact that I've done horror and been so involved with it and had so much fun, and so many people, like I said, follow it, I've been able to be successful. So again, I owe a lot to that. I really do owe a lot to everyone who supports it. So that's awesome. Thank you guys. I hope you keep watching.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we will. one thing I wanted to bring up, was about, Aunt Rose.
Yeah.
Which actually was, I think, originally supposed to be titled No One Gets Out, right?
Yes, No One Gets Out.
No One Gets Out. that's, in my opinion, kind of a little indie horror gem. You know, I really, really enjoyed that movie. And I really enjoyed the writing of it. Joshua Nelson, I thought, did a great job writing it. And he did a hell of a job acting in it also. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of his as well. What was your experience like on that? I know that was the first time you had ever done a full head casting, right?
Yes, yes. That was definitely different. I've had, and I think I've only done one more since then, but so I have a little bit of experience with that. But Joshua Nelson, you know, he is an actor too. So he wrote, you know, full characters for the script. I actually, when I went in to read, I went in to read for the lead. And he, you know, he wrote me, and you never get this, he wrote me a beautiful email saying, you know, I loved your audition and I really wanted to use you, but you just weren't big enough. You know, you just like physically weren't big. I mean, that girl who plays the lead, she's like powerhouse, you know, she's kind of creepy, just, you know, she's a physical presence that's scary. So, you know, he wasn't sure that he could use me. And then, you know, he kind of changed that character, Tony. She was more supposed to be kind of like butchy lesbian. And he kind of changed it to where, you know, I guess more glam, you know.
Lipstick lesbian.
Lipstick. Yeah. And, you know, he kind of changed it, said, no, I want to work with you. I want you to do it. And I have to say, that was like, such a fun shoot. Everyone really just, you know, worked really well together. And, you know, the writing of, like I said, the characters were full characters. I really, you know, that's my favorite parts that I've done. It's really, I actually modeled it after like some ex-boyfriends. So there, but it was a really cool part to do. And the face casting, while not pleasant,
I'm sure,
experience. And you know, I always say about that movie, if you want to have a brain trip, watch your head getting stabbed by a knife at like 3 a.m. after working. it's trippy. It's trippy. So that was the experience there.
I really, one of my favorite scenes in that was the dinner scene where you come to dinner and I laugh my ass off at that scene every time. Just like the look on your face at a couple points when the mother's trying to explain to the father that this is Tony. This is the only Tony that is coming.
Yes, this is the daughter's date. Tony is coming to dinner.
You're sitting there looking at him. You got kind of this like almost smile on your face and you're just like, oh shit. But I love that scene. That was great. And
awesome.
Yeah, you were awesome in that. I mean, yeah, you played a good kind of a, you know, girly girl lesbian, but still could kick some ass at the same time, you know.
Oh, so yeah, that's the, you know, she at the end of the day, that character Tony, she's got to step up and try to be the man. She's going to defend her woman, you know.
Right.
You see what happens when she does, but at least she's, you know,
that was unfortunate.
Kind of wimps. The parents are not doing it, so she's going to try to step up, but, you know, then bad things happen. Oh, well.
One thing I was kind of interested in, I don't know if you can talk about your upcoming role in Don't Look in the Basement.
Well, what I can say about that, that project has been delayed many times for numerous reasons, which I can't talk that much about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening with it. All I know, it's on hold for right now. It may or may not happen in the future. There's been back and forth rumors and things that, you know, I'm not involved with, nor do I like to spread and get involved with, but it's may or may not happen at this point. That's all I know about that one. So it's a shame. It's a shame because, you know, I know people were really looking forward to it. So we'll see.
This was the remake of the original too then, right?
It's a remake, but an updated version of it. It was modernized. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So unfortunately.
Lush and I are big fans of the original. So,
it's really cool.
Looking forward to that. When we saw your name attached to it, we're like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Alan Rowe Kelly's baby, and I love him and love to work with him with anything he does. But, you know, we're going to have to see what happens with it. So I don't know. Just if anyone's, you know, because I've gotten, you know, questions about that before, all I can say is, we'll see. I don't know. There's no projected date, time. It's just on hold for right now, as far as I know. So
okay. Good enough for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the scoop. You got
so
the scoop.
So there's a chance.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I love you. Guys are such guys. So there's a chance. There's definitely a chance. For that all that. Okay. Good.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, well, I guess that, I don't know, I guess that's not really much of a segue, but I was going to ask you, what film or films did you most enjoy working on?
That's a good question. There's a few, there's definitely a few, and I will, you know, I guess just kind of go into them and, you know, also promote at the same time because it's, you know, always good. Oh, yeah, yes. the one that I'm right in the middle of working on right now is called I Heart You. Okay. And this is actually something that's really, really close to my heart because I, along with actor, director, producer Billy Garbarina, I've done a few movies, including Psycho Holocaust with him. We kind of created the story. And, you know, right now my production company produced it and his company produced it and it's in the process of hopefully getting to the final edit. It's a crazy, I would say, dark horror romantic comedy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of cool effects. And the basic plot is this married couple in suburbia who my character's this type A personality caterer. His character is this really schlumpy guy who works in some sort of building development. And they're just bored with each other, but living this, you know, quiet life. And however, that quiet life, if you didn't, because you can't see me. Ah, I'm doing quote hands. But because she's actually a serial killer and he's actually a serial killer and they don't know it. So it's kind of interesting to see how their stories kind of weave together and weave together this ideal suburban life. And again, quote hands, ideal suburban life. And, you know, the thing I love about it is, like, they're these really horrible characters. Like, they're – but you want them to win, you know. It gets, like, that cool dynamic of having kind of the villains, kind of the ones you're rooting for. So I'm really excited about that because that's, you know, like, again – my first real, from start to finish, I'm kind of doing the production of that, you know, along with Billy Garbarina. And we're hopeful to have picture lock within the next month and maybe a final version by the end of the year. So maybe, and this again is, oh, you know, you always put that as maybe 2012. Maybe there'll be some, you know, way to get that out there. So that's I Heart You. That's like my baby right now.
Sounds pretty kick-ass.
Really excited. I'm really excited because, you know, not only does it have my horror elements, it really plays a lot of character and it has, you know, a little comedy in it too. So it has a lot of different things that I'm really enjoying doing. So
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like a good dark comedy with maybe some horror, you know, horror elements to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think hopefully it'll have a little bit, you know, for everyone. It's the movie, you know, guys and girls all will love to watch. Oh God, I sound like such a promoter right now, but like, but no, like it, I'm telling you, it has, you, like I said, this weird relational dynamic and yet it has really gross effects and which are awesome. And really, you know, some, I would say a little bit of a cultural, commentary too. So it has a little of everything. So that's the one I'm really promoting. And, you know, sculpture was one of the ones that I did that, you know, that is close to my heart. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that. That just recently came out.
Have not seen that yet.
Sculpture is awesome. That one, you know, is a crazy twisted story where I just get to go whacked out. My character starts as this girl who comes home for her father's funeral, and she's an artist, but she had a really rough life growing up. Abuse, bad things happen by her father's hands. And she starts kind of going back to the world of her childhood. She starts living at home with her brother and starts getting, you know, doing her art because she's getting an art show and starts having these strange flashbacks of what happened to her. And she decides one of her art pieces is to build the perfect man, or create, I will say, create the perfect man. Maybe I gave a little bit away. but you watch this character kind of unravel from top to bottom. And that's really cool. And that one's out and available too. So
kind of some weird science aspects there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Is that on DVD now, or is that
out on DVD? I believe Amazon has it. That would be my number one place I would think to go get that one. So Sculpture, okay. Definitely out, and Brain Cell is the other one that's just came out too. I don't know if you got to see that one. That one is more of like a giallo kind of a film.
Okay. Oh, really? Cool. Okay.
Yeah, definitely more dialogue and talky. But my character Hannah is in England, so there's a lot of British actors in. That's really cool. Matt Berry, I don't know if you know him. He's a known British actor. I didn't know him before I met him, so maybe some of your audience will.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't put the face with it.
He's in that. This is a Joe Zazzo extravaganza. He's in it too, and he plays a mad scientist and also my uncle, who basically is doing this dream therapy and under the guise of helping people with their nightmares, but he's really kind of turning them into this zombie state, and kind of, you know, they're attacking things and attacking each other, and I'm. You know, my family was just killed, so I moved to England with him, who hates me, and I'm trying to figure out where I, you know, am in life and what's going on in his work, and I see things aren't right, and it's kind of unraveling in front of us. So, and Eileen Daly, if any of you know who that is, you know, any of your listeners, she's in it too as this evil, crazy nurse, so it's really cool.
Well, I know we do have some listeners in the UK, so.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe, yes, maybe those names would be familiar, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me check that one out, and again, I think that's Amazon also, so yeah.
Okay. I kind of got one. Actor or actress do you highly respect?
Ooh, specifically in the horror genre or in
general? Yeah, it could be any genre in general, yeah.
Right now, I would have to say my two top guy. We'll have to do guy and girl because it's, you know, so different. I am a total Johnny Depp fan. I think he cannot do anything wrong at all. You
know what I mean? I agree.
He can do crazy, you know, weird Tim Burton films to, you know, Disney films to kind of just straight out, you know, regular character films, but he always is on, and he's always interesting, and he always brings something unique. Like, he doesn't just play himself. And while I think there are many actors that are really talented who, you know, are them, I think it's a real treat when an actor isn't them in a movie. You know, it's not like, hey, it's Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, sure.
And
it's
next week. I love you, Tom. I'll work with you. So please, that's not a diss. I'd work with you. So, but
I don't like him. I don't like him.
Lush doesn't like Tom.
I'll diss him. I don't like Tom Cruise.
Do it.
Okay. I love those pearly white veneers.
Jesus Christ.
But the idea that, like, an actor who can be something else besides them, that is always so interesting to me. So interesting. Like, I think another one who does that right now is Sam Rockwell, who's definitely not.
Yeah, he's great.
But, like, definitely just in everything you see, you're like, wait, was that the same guy? Oh, my God, that was the guy from this. So he's another one. And for women, I have to say right now, Kate Blanchett, I think everything she does is just on, you know.
She's really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So those are probably my tops at the moment. So
okay,
yes.
Is there any role that you've done that presented like a lot of challenges for you, like as an actress or as a person?
Any role that challenge? You know, it's interesting. I think the role that's going to present a little bit of a challenge is the one that is actually coming up. It's for this movie that I'm doing. Like, to say the name is going to be so funny, but you got to do it. It's called Kung Fu and Titties. Okay. Like, I know. So, like, I'm just calling it K and T because that's like the best I can do right now. And the movie, we're going to be shooting this in October. I'm playing myself. And, like, to me, that is the weirdest thing, to be playing me. Like, the character's name is Rain Brown. And what, it's this weird, off-the-wall, whacked-out, quirky movie with kung fu and with titties. But the whole idea is, like, like the movie is to get the point of the movie is to get me to show my boobs. That is kind of the underlying point of the movie. And I'm playing myself in it. And like, I don't know how much you guys know in terms of my history with that. I have not been naked in movies.
I actually just had a conversation with some people about this, and they were telling me, I don't know, I know you've met these people. They live in New York. Their names are Dave and Chris Caraleo.
Okay.
They were at the premiere of The Super.
Okay.
Really, really good people. They run a site called horrorhappyhour.com.
Okay. Yes.
And they are huge fans of yours also, and I actually have a question from Dave coming up here in a little bit.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's one thing they were telling me is that you've never done a nude scene, and I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, yeah, no, I never have seen her do that.
No, it's just something that, you know, when I started acting, that was never something in the back of my brain. And, you know, a lot of times I know why there is nudity, guys. I get it. You like it. It's good. And it's just, you know, it's always been such an issue in terms of I constantly get asked about it. I constantly, and not so much anymore, get requested to do it. A lot of people kind of know. And in a weird way, a lot of the roles that I've gotten kind of the more powerful roles almost because I haven't, because they give like the secondary, like the boob girl to like the secondary lead. And then, you know, the woman, you know, hero, generally, depending on the film itself, that's not part of it, depending on the film. This movie is going to be kind of strange. I can't tell you how it turns out. I cannot tell you how it turns out. You're just going to have to wait and see. But there's a weird underlord who has watched all my movies and is an obsessed fan. The strange land. And basically, I can save the day by showing my boobs. That is the premise of the movie. I don't know. It's a friend of mine who I've done another movie with, you know, put this movie together, and it's going to be this crazy off the wall wacky thing, and I'm kind of like, all right, let's just do it. So
that sounds fantastic.
Might have to do a review of that, Lush.
Yes.
Sounds
yes.
All right. Right up our alley. Kung Fu and titties. I like that.
We will need a screener of that one.
All right. I will. It's available. No, when that, because we're in October, when that gets together, you guys have to review that one. And
that's for sure.
You can.
And you know, one thing Chris said was that she would be willing to be your stunt tits.
Thank you. That is just that I will have to let people know. So, like, you know, if next time it's like, oh, you really want boobs? Well, here you go. You can just use these. Awesome.
Because I think you guys are, you and Chris are kind of like the same, same build, you know. And
you were trying to find a nice way to say that, weren't you? You were trying to like.
No, you're both petite, you know.
Okay.
You're probably what, like 5'4", I'm guessing?
That's a very big compliment about that. A little shorter, but
okay. That was one of the things I was talking to them about, and you know, Dave thinks, you know, that Chris really resembles you, and he really enjoys the hell out of that.
Oh, and, nice.
and so does she. No, they're really great people. But she was like, yeah, I'll be her stunt tits.
Nice. All right, then. I'll have to work that out, then. We'll have
hit her up. Hit her up. But I guess, kind of along the lines of that last question I just asked, what are some things that get you excited about doing a film, and what are some things that might turn you off of doing a film?
I think the number one thing that gets me excited about doing the film is the people that I'm working with. If there's a good group of people who are positive, that love what they do, that know what they're doing, you know, and you can get me to do almost anything. Like, I just love to work and be involved. Secondary thing that, you know, I look for is, you know, when I look at the script, it's like, what do I get to do? Like, what, you know, kind of thing does this character get to do? And like, you know, I really get excited about strong female characters, and I'm so happy to be doing horror films at this time where that is a very accepted archetype and very accepted character is the female hero who gets to kick butt. Like, guys like it. girls like it. Yeah. It's totally accepted and cool. And I get so, you know, I get excited when I get to play characters that, you know, you start out somewhere. Like in a lot of the movies I did, I'm thinking like Barricade, thinking even what we talked about, Brain Cell, Psycho Holocaust. They start out somewhere. And because of the circumstances that they find themselves in, they have to kind of like rise up and fight and defeat the characters at the end, you know, the whatever monster it is, or werewolf, or whatever evil class, I don't know, whatever, you know, gets thrown at them. That's the kind of characters that I really love. I'm trying to think what really like turns me off is, I think when, for me, when it's just a script that looks like it's just thrown together without care, meaning like, there, you know, we just want to do, you know, a bunch of effects, a bunch of this, and we need those effects. We need that stuff, and I love that. But you have to put those things in a solid base of why would someone want to watch this? You know, what's the story? What's going to grab people? Like, why are they going to care about these people going through this situation? So if it's not grounded in any sort of care, that's what kind of turns me off.
Very good.
One thing I kind of wanted to ask you was, if you could work with one mainstream director today, what would your choice be?
Mainstream director. I've often said, and I cannot say his name, so if I mess it up, I'm sorry. Tom Twyker, the German director. Run, Lola, Run. Is that how you say it, though? T-W-Y?
I think so. Yeah. That's how I'd say it.
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard it pronounced, but, you know.
Or Tweaker, maybe.
Tweaker?
Maybe that. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. But he's done, you know, I saw Run, Lola, Run. I fell in love with it. And then Heaven, that was another one he did. I fell in love with, and Perfume, Story of a Murder. Oh my God. Like, he's just beautiful. He just does beautiful, beautiful work. And
he is very talented.
Him. So, and it's not like I'm not reaching for James Cameron out there. So not that I wouldn't work with him, but I'm kind of saying, well, maybe he's kind of, you know, that maybe is a possible reach at the moment.
He's overrated. You don't want to fly around in front of a green screen all day?
That's right.
Oh, God. As exciting as that paycheck would sound.
Oh, I'm sure it would be fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to, I'm sure you get to have so much more fun doing what you do now.
You know, there is nothing more fun than having like the action in front of you. Hey, again, you do it with a green screen, you got to do it, and that's fine. But there's nothing than the reactions right there and being able to do it in front of, like, that's to me what gets me going. So,
oh yeah. And you know, just all the, you know, in horror films anyway, you know, all the well, the horror films that are still using practical effects anyway. Yeah. All the
most of the indie horror films, we can't afford CGI. We just do it. Exactly. We do it. We get the blood on us, we get the prosthetics on us, and
us, us personally, that's what we love. I don't like CGI blood.
No, that's ridiculous.
I understand, you know, some things, I mean, and I have seen some films that They use a blend of like practical and CGI, and if they do it right, it's pretty fucking seamless, you know. Like, I think have you seen the movie Laid to Rest?
Not yet, no.
Chrome Skull, the second one, I think just came out on DVD yesterday. I've seen both, and they're both fantastic. There's great death scenes in those movies, and but there was, you know, there's times I think Robert Hall did a blend of CGI and you know, practical prosthetic effects. And he fucking did a great job, and it looks really, really good. So it just depends on how it's done, I think, you know.
It's almost when you can't tell, that's the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it was. So, but, yeah, we're definitely fans of the practical effects, man. That's where it's at. The nitty-gritty shit.
It is. I mean, that's where it started, you know, and if, you know, there's the special effects artists, that's what they really are. And they, you know, can create and come up with such amazing, amazing, you know, things and features. And it's you know, an art form in itself.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I have a question. Out of all the characters you played in all your films, which one do you most relate to?
Ooh, that's relate to or that's so hard because
yeah.
You know, honestly, like I have to say, I know it sounds like so corny, but like when I do these characters, they kind of become like my little children. Like they're almost or like my little friends, like they're like little parts of me. Like this is so not me. I just did for Alan Rokelly, as we talked about before, he's doing this anthology called Gallery of Fear. I did a segment called Down the Drain. And, you know, I play this character that is this totally, and this is going to, and now that the world knows a little bit more, it's this Jersey horrible stereotype. And she's talking like this, and she's at her husband. And oh my God, I cannot believe how disgusting you are. And like, it like comes out of me. And like, okay, that's not who I am in normal life, but it's just, you know, there's got to be a piece of me in there that can, you know, get that, like, you know, harshness, you know. So, you know, in terms of, like, actually ones like me, I don't think I've played a character that was really relatable to my world specifically. Like, their emotions or what they're going through could be, but not specifically similar. You know, I don't often run into werewolves or zombies and have to kill them and escape from them. But no, not, I'd have to say most, they're very not similar to me. I have yet to play one that would, I'd say like, yeah, that's me on screen. So one day maybe. Or maybe Kung Fu and Titties. I don't know. That's
right. Yeah, there you go.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know.
It's kind of a two-part question here. First part, is there a film that you've been in that you didn't think got the credit that it deserved?
Is there a film that I didn't think got the credit it deserved? Probably, you know what? The film, I think there's a number of them that, you know, I thought would have been bigger, would have had more of a following. I would say this is such a hard one. I don't know. I'm like,
you didn't expect this shit from a couple of dudes that like boobs and gore, did you?
Yeah, you guys are like in depth. I love it. No, I do appreciate that though, because it, you know, it's not some of the same questions over and over again. Maybe like Beast. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that one. That one was a Timo Rose film, and it was just. Like, I thought it hit the right combination of good story, good gore, good effects, good hardcore, like, crazy action, and kind of funny. And it just kind of didn't really go anywhere, you know? So, that one, maybe 100 Tears. I don't know. That was getting, like, a lot of press in the beginning. And then it just, the distribution just didn't happen. Like, you guys, like, you know, the circuit, I don't know, is there a name to call, like, the horror circuit? Like, you know, the podcasts and the magazines, they were all promoting it, but it just kind of died.
It's a great film. I love it.
I love that movie.
Okay. So, I thought it was going to be bigger. I really thought it was going to be bigger.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, well, the second part to that is there a film that you weren't happy with the final result of it? Like, not necessarily your performance in the film, but the film as a whole?
The film as a whole.
Like, you were in it and you're like, wow, was I really in that piece of shit?
Right. All right, let's see.
I understand if you don't want to call anybody out.
I'm trying to think what to be diplomatic about, too. Because, I have to say, the films, some of the films I've been surprised on, wow, they were really good. And other films I was surprised on, wow, they didn't quite work. Like, but I honestly think it was my performance. Like, the one film that's been getting that got a lot of press was this film Plasterhead. And You know, I thought there were some good things about the film. I thought it wasn't really that scary. I love the guys that, you know, I worked with. But, like, I, performance-wise, I felt, you know, I kind of feel like the character was superficial and what I did, I don't care for. So maybe that one. There's another film, Woods of Evil, by Conrad Glover, who I love, and we're hoping to get another film together. But this was his first horror film, and, you know, he'll even say it. He's like, there's things that he didn't put in there for the genre that, you know, could have made it better. It kind of, it didn't have a spark, you know. It was just kind of like, kind of not memorable, I would think.
Sure.
But I love him, and he's a great director, and we're working together. So, you know, it's you know, it just depends. It just depends. And I honestly, when I watch the films, I think for my own sanity, I really, you know, look more at my performance than the film itself, because there's so little control as an actor that you have over the final product. That you could drive yourself crazy on, oh, why did it come out like this? Or I thought it was going to come this way. And, you know, I kind of look more to, like, in my heart, which ones I like and which ones I don't like as much towards. It's definitely towards my performance. I definitely have skewed it.
Okay.
Well, where do you see yourself, like, 10 years from now? Do you want to stick with the horror genre, or do you kind of want to move out of it, or...
Oh, I want to just keep working. Like, I want to stay... I love horror films. I think... you know, the emotional tension and the dramatics in horror films, you don't get, you know, in a lot of films. You get to be just running around. You get, you know, I get a lot of my crazy overcharged energy doing horror films. So I would love to do that. I honestly just want to be working. I just want to be someone that people are like, hey, Rain Brown, I've heard of that actress. Let me put her in this. And just different types of films, just anything, everything, just a working actor is what I want to be in 10 years. And hot.
And hot. I'm sure you won't have a problem with that.
Thank you.
talk a little bit real quick. We saw something that you you kind of had your directorial debut for Psycho Street. You did a segment of that. Was that right?
Yes.
Okay. How was that? How was it working behind the camera?
There's again, that one is, there's a few issues going on with that at the moment,
which
are yet to be resolved. So, unfortunately I don't know how much I can say, how much I can't say.
All I
can tell you is that, yes, I directed a segment, No Rest for the Wicked. I am so proud of it. What has happened, you know, there was a script, you know, I was starring in a few different pieces in that. And Hypochondriac, which is this crazy off-the-wall comedy, horror comedy, was great. I got to play this crazy Southern nurse. I love that role. this one, it's really, it was a basically a psychological drama about this woman who's a young single mother. She's very isolated and alone and lost, and she's doing prescription drugs, so she's not necessarily in her right mind. And she hooks back up with an ex-boyfriend who's, like, kind of a flaky musician type, and he basically has been in and out of her life. She kind of cheated on him to have this kid, so he's kind of not really keen on this kid, and basically... he makes her choose between the kid and herself. There's some stuff going on. I don't exactly know what's going to happen. All I can say is there's the director's cut, which I am very proud of, and I'm hopeful that people will see. There's a cut that's supposedly going to go on the anthology that I have not seen and have not had my hands in. And just to clear up any of the press on there, there's been some... disconcerting back and forth press on who directed this, because some people are giving credit to second unit directors as directors. So I directed this. I am very proud of what I did. I hope you guys get to see the director's cut somehow, and I'm going to work my damnedest to show it. I don't know what's going to happen, like I said, the cut there, you know, on that, or how it's going to wind up. There's some issues going on, which... but we'll see how it resolves. Again, you guys are getting some of the dirt.
Oh, we got a fan email from Joe. He wanted to know, what do you think about the mainstream horror genre today? It's like a three-part question. We'll start with that one.
First of all, hi, Joe. Thank you so much for emailing. That's awesome. I think it's pretty boring. I think they play it safe because they want to make sure they make their money back. And, you know, they just remake so many things that were already classics that I don't understand why they would remake and break them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the indie horror genre gets to be more creative and more exploratory. I don't know if that's part of the system in terms of, you know, no one will give them the money to make, you know, something more interesting. No one will invest in it. And since, you know, indie is lower money, they will, you know, take the risk. I don't know what's the cause of it, but I just know that it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that kind of ties into the second question, what your thoughts were on the remakes. But third part question was, if you could be in a remake, which one would it be?
Carrie.
Nice.
I don't even have to think about that. Oh my god, that would be my type of movie. You know, it combines the psychological with the crazy, with the, you know, the effects, with just, you know, this girl breaking down. That is my all-time favorite. Yes.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a festival that I did a few years ago, and, you know, I came out as queen of the festival and dressed in, like, the pink dress, and they crowned me, and then someone came and dumped blood on my head. And
nice.
We made, like, a Carrie moment out of it. It was very funny. It was
awesome.
Very funny. Yeah.
Okay. And we, like I said, we got a question from Dave Carolio. He was wanting to know, if he was the last man on Earth, would you ever consider it?
Nice. Why does he have to be the last man? It doesn't have to be the last man. Come on.
Hey, I'm just passing along the question.
I hear you. I will say a definite yes.
All right.
Consider. Yeah, there you go, Dave.
You just made Dave's year.
Dave, call me when you're the last man.
All right. And
kind of winding up,
yeah, well, you know, there was actually one thing I did want to ask along the lines of the super.
Yes.
We're probably going to be having an interview with Manoush coming up here soon.
Oh, cool, Manoush.
And, yeah, she's fucking badass.
She's awesome.
I spoke to her on the phone for about a half an hour, like a month ago.
Wait, you got off in a half an hour? Whoa, that's a record. Manoush can talk.
No, it was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. I actually wish I would have recorded that fucking thing, because we talked about some great shit. But what I want to start doing, you know, if we have interviews with people that have been in the same movie or something like that, I want to get a question from, like, I want to get a question from you that I should ask Manoush, like maybe an embarrassing question, like from something that happened on the set or, you know, something like that.
You know, you could ask Manoush. Okay. You could ask Manoush if she's actually truly sorry for giving me the black eye that she gave me while we filmed the super. You can ask her that, because Manoush actually punched me. Yes, you heard it here. I suffered for my art. I came home, I had a huge, big black and blue black eye. So you can ask her if she is actually sorry she punched Rain Brown during the filming. Or was it all a plan to begin with?
All right. I am writing that down as we speak. All right. Okay. What, you got one?
Yeah. And the last thing we kind of want to ask you is, what was the last film that actually scared you?
I'm trying to think. Who actually scared? It's been a while. I would have to say Saw. I would have to say that one, because I wasn't expecting it. And that was sort of, at least for me, sort of the beginning of those type of movies.
Oh,
and
sure.
I would say that's the last one that actually really was like, I had trouble sleeping that night. That was, was crazy. Now, by now, they're kind of, you know, old hat, and you're like, yeah, okay, I've been there, done that, seen that. But, you know, the first one specifically, which is years ago now, but yeah.
It's pushing 10 years now. Kinda.
Yeah.
They gotta get something scary out there now, right?
Exactly. What about, I mean, I know.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, no, I agree. That was, I mean, when that first one came out, that was like a good, like, grueling fucking horror movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
that actually got you into it. And it was just, it was a, you know, I mean, there was what, fucking five people really in the whole movie, cast. I mean, really like a central cast of about five people, really.
Exactly. It's creepy.
Yeah. Kept you really hooked in. Yeah. I agree.
Yes. Yes.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, we really appreciate.
We appreciate you taking the time, yeah. Rain.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love it.
No problem. And yeah, we'll have to get you, you know, hopefully back on here sometime in the future when you get, you know, I know you got like, what is it, fucking five movies in post right now?
Yeah, there's.
we talked about some of them, but.
Yeah, so talk about some of them. There's like a handful that hopefully, you know, 2012 they'll be out by then. But yep, there's a handful, and there's was like this year. Like I said, there was a bunch that we mentioned. What was like those that we talked about were like the newest ones. They're coming out, and
yeah.
For one last plug, I will be doing Monster Mash, which is this new convention in Indiana in December. So okay. You could check out that up out online. So I will be there. For all those people out that way.
Yeah, you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you if you were going to be appearing anywhere.
Oh, wow. I'm also going to be at Comic-Con, but I don't know that I could say I'm appearing at Comic-Con. I'm at a table at Comic-Con. We're going to be, you know, there with Psycho Holocaust and sculpture and all. But yeah. Not listed.
Hey, that's an appearance.
Okay. I'm not on the website yet. Give me a couple years, but right. Yes, I'll be there. So, you know, if anyone's there, come by, try to find me in the mess, but Monster Mash will be the next actual, you know, convention appearance that I'm promoting.
Okay. Now for any like indie filmmakers out there, mm-hmm. Are you available for booking and all that? And if you are, how can people go about finding you?
Definitely. I always love to work. So, feel free to contact me the best way, always Facebook or my email, but Facebook, look for Rain Brown, quite simple. My email for, you know, all work things is rain@rainbrown.com, but you could also go to the website rainbrown.com for contact information. But often Facebook seems to be the easiest way that people can get in touch. And yes, I'm definitely, like I said, always interested in meeting new people, working with people who have really good ideas, and you know, getting some new, you know, energy. So definitely,
yeah, sure,
definitely.
Well, yeah,
I might be calling you.
Great, I know you, so it's already connection. Good.
Hell yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. Well, definitely like our Facebook page, and we're hoping to get this posted in the next few weeks and put it up, and we'll link you up and everything. So
yes. I would love to promote this too, so that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we are kind of promotion whores. So
yeah,
great.
We love yeah. The indie scene. Nobody, a lot of people don't take it seriously. Some of the horror fans are, you know, the horror elitists that just like mainstream movies.
Yeah,
but,
fucking sad.
We're trying to turn people a little bit.
Yeah,
I agree. I think, you know, I don't understand if you love horror, why you would turn against indie horror, because there's a lot of ones that are just like, what? But there's a lot of little gems. There's a lot of little gems. And, you know, these, the indie ones are often by the people who, you know, they're not manufactured by a studio. They're people who like just love this genre, and that's why they write them, you know? So right. You can find some really good scripts. Like I said, The Super was one of those that they loved it, you know. Yeah. It came from horror fans. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one we reviewed a few episodes.
Yeah, we
ago
did
too.
We did a review of that on the show.
Huge fans of that movie.
Yeah, that was actually very near and dear to our hearts now. We love that fucking movie.
It's cool. And another one, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I will recommend Bully to you. B-O-O-L-E-Y. Bully.
Okay.
It's a weird, wacky horror. It's wacky, and it's cool. It's just offbeat and cool. So that's, recommend that to you guys.
All right. Well, Rain, thank you very, very much for taking the time to, again, I think I thanked you once or twice already, but, thank you again for taking the time to talk with us, and we appreciate
your
honest answers, and you know, it's been a lot of fun for us to sit here and have a few beers and have a conversation with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like I'm just hanging out talking with my bud, so it was really cool. Thank you guys.
that's what we try to do for our interviews, man. We just wanna sit back, have a few drinks, and just talk with some people and try to make it not seem so much like a fucking interview, you know?
Yeah, I want in-person interviews.
We don't like the fucking rigid shit, you know?
No, they get boring after a while, very stale, quickly, so
yeah,
very cool.
So, yeah, again, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, and, yeah, we're going to go ahead and close out this interview segment. So you are listening to Behind the Mask. I'm Lush.
And the River Man.
And who are you, miss?
Rain Brown.
All right, we will see you back, I guess, in the next fucking segment, huh?
That's right.
All right.
Great interview.
Yes, yes. We had a hell of a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Rain. That was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, I think we thanked her a good 5 times, but thank you again, Rain.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed the conversation.
We really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what more to say after that, man.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you, everybody go to her Facebook page, give her a like.
Yes, definitely.
Check out her films, too. She has some great ones out there, so.
Yeah.
I mean, she also talked about some stuff she has, you know, in post-production and everything. And we'll definitely be updating our Facebook page with, you know, her future titles and everything. So
definitely.
Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. And, keep a watch out for her because she does great stuff. And keep supporting the indie horror for sure, because that's where the good shit is, man.
That's right. If you want good horror,
yeah, that's where it's at. You have
to find indie horror.
That's exactly right.
So, well, I mean, the old shit's good too.
Well, yeah, the old shit, but yeah, as far as new stuff,
yeah.
Yeah, indie horror is where it's at now. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, man, she's I think one of the queens of indie horror.
Oh yeah.
Over these past few years here.
She's a gem.
She is a gem.
Gem! gem. But yeah, let's wrap it up. You're listening to Behind the Mask with the River Man.
And the Lush.
And we'll see you soon.
Keep it sleazy.